The following program has been furnished and paid for by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSCB and KGBC are not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could join us once again. And I just want to start off by reminding you that we'll be talking about certain content today that's at a very high level. It's not necessarily for you or any other listener. It depends on your unique facts and circumstances as to whether you might should investigate the prospect of deploying said strategies or investment opportunities in your existing situation. And presumably you've got some current advisors who can review the information you learn about today and give you a assessment of, you know, whether you, what you heard is correct, and secondly, whether it's potentially applicable to your, again, unique facts and circumstances. We don't sell investments such as real estate, private partnership syndications. We don't sell real estate. We don't promote specific syndicators or sponsors or lead partners. We may talk with some on the air from time to time. However, it's not to be construed as promoting that party. It's more of a situation where they have experience undertaking the types of partnerships that we want to expose you to. And should you choose to seek more information, well, then by all means, that's for you to do. I don't control that relationship, certainly. And now, in the situation where maybe you are interested in pursuing a real estate private partnership syndication ownership interest, and you want someone to help you understand the pro forma information, the legal documents that you'll be asked to execute. In other words, it's going to be the guidebook for how your partnership will be run going forward, should you join it, well, then we are most assuredly able to help you understand what you're getting ready to sign up for and make sure you understand the risk potential, make sure you understand the tax possible tax benefits, could be some tax detriments. You know, it just depends on what plays out. But that's the things that we can do to help you in you. Underscore you making a decision to undertake a specific investment. And, you know, we from time to time will talk about specific opportunities. And again, I don't want you to take that as a stamp of approval. I usually talk about transactions to illustrate some of the risk or the pitfalls or the significant opportunity as we see it. Just depends, but it's all over the board in terms of whether or not we would, I guess I would say whether we would look at investing in it ourselves. And of course, if we did that, we would alert you and make sure you understood that, hey, we've got a conflict, and be certain that you understand. And using an independent advisor is something I might recommend, although it's not required in the situation of these types of opportunities. Well, with that said, I wanted to visit the concept, since we talked, we threw the word syndication around several times there, and that disclaimer, I want to talk about how syndications solve some common investing problems for people that are interested in investing in real estate, whether it's for current cash flows, whether it's for retirement. These syndications fit all the above, and yet you may not understand. You may think a syndication of an apartment building, where 100, 150 people get together and pull their funds to purchase a 300 to 500 unit apartment building, or maybe a portfolio of several of those types of apartments. And you may think, I did an investment like this with another syndicator or sponsor a couple, 3 years ago. This one will be the same. That should never be your assumption. They will all be different, even if it was the same syndicator, because each property has unique metrics, math metrics, as to the nature of the project. Number one, you might have invested in what we call a value add project, the one that you did 2 or 3 or 8 years ago, or maybe you've got half a dozen of these investments so far, and all of them have been that what we call value adds, where the syndicator purchased a 30 to 40 or 50 year old building that needed renovations and needed, frankly, a new type of tenant that they're wanting to boost the rental income rates, the asking price to the tenant. And so in exchange for the syndicator buying bringing you the opportunity to help buy the building, in other words, to pool your money with, I don't know, it could be a couple hundred other people, in most cases on properties that size, the renovations can take place that will bring that building back to life, bring it up to the current standards where you can renovate, maybe add wood-like flooring, put in stainless appliances, maybe add a smart home package, could offer some intangible services like, or I call them intangible, a media room, a trash takeout. There's a lot of ways to make fees, make money on an apartment building. And if you have the right tenant base, some are easier than others. And, I forgot to mention maybe some garage, adding some garages or covered parkings, another item that we see. But the point is, once you do that, you're a lot closer, even though you've got an older building. You've got a better product that you can command higher rent for, and depending on where it's located, that's a huge intangible, and allows you to raise the rent more once you start releasing the building, or maybe if you were able to keep certain of the tenants that were in units that required a less intensive renovation, you either had an empty unit you could move them into or otherwise accommodate them. And so when they renew, you've got a chance to potentially, again, depends on the tenant. Some tenants, it wouldn't matter how nice you made it. They're literally constrained by a certain monthly budgetary amount. We understand that. And that's all part of the due diligence that takes place, when the syndicator is trying to decide on buying the property. And by the way, that's one of the benefits of, how a syndication can solve some of the heavy lift, if you will, on due diligence, because you won't be, as a passive investor, that won't be something you have to worry about. The syndicator will take that on and bring you the data to support why he or she thinks that's a good project and could be something that return above average rates of return. And if you think that's not feasible, you don't understand what's going on in the multifamily space. The private equity sector has jumped in as of, I guess, 2-3 years ago, and they've snapped up a lot of properties, and that won't change because it's the same reason that we lay people, individual investors, like them. They typically provide above average rates of return and cash flow and have the ability to be refinanced. It's not like your single family rental. And I believe it was 2 or 3 weeks ago on the show that we talked about the difference between how we make money with single family properties versus multifamily. And while you may see some syndications that involved a group of single family properties, the build to rent model right now has gained some steam, and you could invest in a syndication that is composed of single family, and that adds a little twist to how the money is made. But multifamily has the ability to return money on a grander scale due to the way that, again, properties are valued. It's not a comp where you're constrained by what the property across the street sold for 3 weeks ago or 3 months ago, like you would be if you had a single family rental that you were trying to sell. It typically doesn't get valued at the based on cash flow or net operating income. It gets valued based on a comparative or a comparable property that sold in the same neighborhood, and big difference. So you've got a ceiling that in most cases you won't exceed, and you can think of it in a price per square foot. I know most of the MLS systems these days show the price per foot. Can't remember when that started. Didn't used to be that way, because I remember, I don't know, it's been 25 years or more that I started thinking myself each time I would see a property, not so much in the multifamily arena. Multifamily, it's more of a how much per door did you sell something for. Even though the doors may be different, you may have a one-bedroom and a three-bedroom, but all in all, that's how you'll get a comparable value delineation. But in the single-family game, it's about price per foot, and I don't care how well you run that property as a rental property, and you want to sell it. Now, maybe if you're selling it to another investor, and perhaps if it's part of a sale of like 6 homes or 10 homes that you have, okay, you may be able to force the logic of multifamily onto the table because you want the ability to sell the cash flow. And that's what multifamily gives you that single family typically doesn't. Single family, you're typically going to be restrained by the price per foot that a comparable property sold for. So in any event, so effectively, once we're able to renovate the property, bring it up to market, then we have the ability to take some major amount of our initial investment off the table by doing a refinance. And let's hold that spot at the refinance stage and go ahead and take a short break here. We'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, where we'll talk more about how the syndication business model solves some common investing problems for real estate investors. We'll be right back.
Shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Okay, we're back with more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we were just getting started on talking about real estate private syndications, and I was mentioning, again, kind of a refresher on the positives of using passive partnership ownership interest to meet your goals and objectives on saving for retirement. And, you know, it's interesting to watch the progression of investors. Many of the clients that I have started with single-family rentals and still may operate some even as they move over to partnerships. And there's some pretty persuasive arguments for why investing in a partnership, both passive and active. And I started off talking about buying as part of a group, a 200 to 500 unit apartment building. And I want to tell you, I've got some positive reasons on why you might forego that opportunity and buy a, I don't know, 8 to 20 unit, maybe joining with three or four of your investor friends and taking that down as a small partnership where you each have an active role. And that actually has benefits that in some cases can outperform, if you will, what you might be getting as one of 200 or 300 partners in a larger partnership. And I understand. I just ran through a list of things that you might benefit from by having someone else in the hot seat, so to speak. You won't be dealing with tenants. You won't be doing much due diligence, at least on the for the perspective of soliciting capital. You obviously should be doing some to determine if you're going to put your capital in, but and then you've got a whole list of other issues, you know, managing contractors, managing leasing staff, managing the process of making final selections of who to accept as a tenant. Those are things that somebody's doing in every apartment building partnership, and the bigger project it is, the more likely that there's going to be other people involved that you'll never talk to. Those will be handled by the lead partner. Even the property management selection, you know, most of the large syndications, or I don't know, I'm going to say a lot, it could be most, are managed by an outside property manager. Now, some of the larger syndicators have in-house property management, and, you know, they always say that, like, that's the best way. Well, I've watched a lot of larger syndicators with big projects outsource the property management, and it's been a disaster. So I'm going to tell you, good property management is what you're seeking. I don't care whether it's outside, inside, whatever. You want someone that understands the property, understands the market, and knows how to put people in those units. And that, you know, I would agree with both models in terms of it being best, quote unquote. I've seen it where it is. I've seen it where it's worse. You know, both models. So don't fall for it when it's very confidently described by the team, the syndication team, that, oh, we're doing it in-house, or, oh, we've got that outsourced to one of the leading brands of property management. They both work, and they both fail. So the relationship to that party that's actually, you know, running your property is probably the biggest key if you want to learn what's going on. In any event, the things that, you know, you can get around with syndication in large measure is the time commitment it takes to do all the above that we just mentioned with leasing agents and rehab folks and all the different steps in taking care of a project that occur before you close. In other words, just finding the property and deciding which one has the potential is a major undertaking, and time and other resources. You know, what's your financial background? What's your business background? Do you have any idea how an apartment building might be different than what you do for a living already? And again, the syndicator typically is into syndication full time of whatever asset class, you know, multifamily or industrial or healthcare facilities. You know, these are not part time gigs in most cases, but in any event, so the time commitment is one of the huge positives, as I see it, that joining a group can have. And again, it's all in the context of you being less connected to the process as maybe you would be, or rather than you would be, if you buy a small apartment building either on your own or, you know, with two, three, four other partners. And, you know, I would suggest to you, having done both, I've invested in 700 unit syndications. I've also, I currently own an 8-unit apartment building in San Antonio. And I'll tell you, there's positive and negatives with both. But from a tax standpoint, there's no question the small apartment building has far more benefit, provided you're active and you can put in enough time to satisfy the real estate professional requirements. And if you can do that, then the sky is pretty much the limit on your write-off. And it's, I mean, up to the amount that you actually lose in a given year, which for those of you that you may be thinking, well, wait a minute, I thought you were just telling us how this is the best segment to invest in, is this real estate private partnership space. Well, it is, but it's part of the reason it's attractive is because we get to recognize losses, you know, that other types of businesses or investments don't get. And in most cases, you know, if you buy, let's just say, a stock and the company loses money, and I'm talking about the company, well, you're not getting a write-off for that, at least right away, and maybe not at all. You're going to get a write-off based on how much you sell your stock for, if you want to call it a write-off. It's a gain or a loss. And But in any event, within the real estate sector, if you structure correctly, and unfortunately the big partnerships, the 200-300 passive investor partnerships, you won't, in most cases, you won't be able to write off the losses unless you've got another partnership in a property that is being sold and you've got a gain. So you've got some passive positive passive gains or income in the same year that you've got losses coming off the newer transactions that you just acquired or being carried forward. You know, the dollars are fungible. It could be off of, you know, if you had partnership A, B, and C ownership interest, losses on C could be deductible if you've got income on A or B, and that's cumulative from the beginning. That hasn't been utilized at the current moment. And so would other losses could be used against that income. So in any event, and I said that, let me correct that. I said that a bit awkwardly. The losses that are coming forward is what will be utilized against the passive income in the current year. And the losses are indeed fungible. So it doesn't have to be a loss. Again, if I've got property A, B, and C, I could have loss carry forwards on any one or two or all three. And then in the year, current year, I could experience either income or more likely a gain if one of the properties was sold. And when I sell it, if I have a gain, well, then the loss carry forwards can be applied against that gain, and losses are indeed fungible. It doesn't have to be from the one that you're selling. So in any event, the beauty of operating a small property is that you have a chance to be active and potentially acquire enough hours over the course of the year and the correct activities to allow you to write off those losses against any other income at that point. Could be your wages, et cetera. Your spouse could be the one taking or participating in those small partnerships. Maybe he or she manages the vendors. And this is all without showing up at a property. I mean, there's so many things in today's world you can do. I mean, the small partnership will still likely engage a property manager, maybe not. I don't. We self-manage, and to the extent you self-manage, your odds go up in terms of acquiring enough hours to qualify as a real estate professional. But the point is, you know, you can acquire hours by managing marketing efforts, social media, perhaps. Or, you know, watching the contractors, assessing leases. I mean, there's a number of activities that, again, in a 3-4-person partnership can qualify the individual partners to be a real estate professional. Let's see. There's let me see. Just passive, and I want to distinguish now when I talk about, you know, all rental real estate is deemed to be passive by default. Most rents, in fact, are. But don't get confused between the nature of the passive activity, meaning that you've got your money that's working to make you money even without you showing up every day. That's what I don't want. I want to distinguish that. From the context of you going to a job every day where you are active. Now, you may not be actively in control of whether you make money, but you won't be near as much as you could be with a small apartment building, I'll tell you that, and yet you don't change the overall category of income to being active. It's your the activities that you undertake in that passive real estate rental that will give you the active status. And again, I've yet to meet a syndicator in a large syndication, a large partnership that wants more than one chef in the kitchen, and they would be the one chef. They really aren't looking to take you on as a partner so you can be taught the business, quote unquote. That's just not something they're getting paid to do, and they don't have time as well. So, you know, if you want to learn, learn by observation. And to the extent you do have opportunities to ask some questions, you know, maybe squeeze a few in, but don't lose sight of the fact that that person, that lady or that man is in charge of making money for the partnership that you're in. So that any impediments you provide them will likely only come back to harm the chances that you're going to have a successful partnership. But, you know, the vast majority of successful people trust a professional to diagnose their ailments, i.e. a doctor, fix their car, i.e. a full-time mechanic, or do their taxes, a tax professional. So it's possible with syndications, and so often more profitable, to do the same in real estate. You don't have to do it alone. And in fact, if you have aligned yourself with a successful syndicator, somebody that's been to the finish line time and again, you want to stay out of the way. I mean, it's only if you see an engine on fire that's falling off the plane, okay, let's make sure the syndicator is aware and is taking corrective action. So another scenario that we see often, and this can't be understated in America, in addition to the time commitment that, you know, the syndication saves you, there's another issue about whether there's local investment. And I'm sorry, not just time savings, you know, having to deal with tenants. And I'm just focusing on that because it's something that always resonates with anybody that's ever had a rental property will always, it seems like, have negative stories they can tell you. I know at one point we had we acquired about 100, somewhere between 130 and 150 homes, rental homes, all of them older builds, east side of San Antonio. And we didn't have 150 at any one time. We probably had 35 to 40, and which is a lot. And, you know, we always thought about, you naturally as a human being, you think about the negative, the hardship ones. And yet, as I think back, we had tenants that would literally go put their rent each month in our bank account. And this would be unusual if it was, you know, on the good part of town. This was the east side, classic east side, old neighborhood. All the houses we had were 60 to 80 years old, I would guess, lower income. And but in any event, you know, I have to deviate a second. I always think about Self-Made Millionaires platform, for those of you that are familiar with that in the Houston area. And the two-day workshop that they require every new member to go through, which I tell you is worth the price of admission, when they discuss tenant types and rental histories, the financial aspect, they would explain to you have three possible tenants. A perfect person, does everything right, never has a late payment, never had one in their life, they plan. You might have some pink Martians, which are the type that, you know, they had that one hospital incident where their son or daughter fell and broke an arm, and it turned into a lot of money. And, you know, they never quite got that bill paid. And then you've got your purple Martians where nothing goes right. They have a horrible credit history. It's not just one event. It's every event. And in any event, they explain the way you handle deposits and things like that on each of those. And, of course, the normal perfect tenants, so single-month deposit. Pink Martians, you get 2 months. Purple Martians, I've forgotten the number, but you get a lot of months, maybe three or four. And, you know, we were always so delighted when we realized we had a perfect one, because that just makes your time involvement so much more lucrative than if you're tracking people down. And we early on, somehow, I can't remember how we came up with it, but we were the pilot party in San Antonio market for Ace Cash Express. And we had a scenario where our tenants could take their payment to Ace, which we mandated in the lease, said, hey, you got to take this to Ace Cash Express. And most of them went to the location. There was a couple of them on the east side there. And, you know, they made a deposit that day, and we overnight would have – it would be in our account the time we woke up. There was none of this, oh, the check's in the mail, or, you know, we sent it last Thursday. No, no. In the, I don't know, 10 years or more that we operated those rental properties, I can think of one mistake – that Ace made, and it wasn't to my detriment. They put somebody else's money in my account and could never figure out who it was. And they finally just told us to keep it, and we'll have to cover it if the party that was shorted pops up. But never was there a scenario a deposit happened that they didn't immediately put in our account overnight. But in any event, the time commitment, dealing with tenants, time commitment, and but a big one, and I see this with respect to investor platforms that have multiple offices. Well, not even those necessarily. It could be anybody. If you're located in a place like California, in most areas of California, the multifamily game's a lot different. It takes a lot more money to acquire property. Costs are higher. Everything is less than optimal. And I've got more than a few clients that live in California that are investing in Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, maybe Nashville, maybe Bentonville, Arkansas, other places, you know, in the Sun Belt. And, you know, you may not be able to invest locally, and yet you'd be surprised how many investors just think, well, that means, oh, gee, I guess I can't do it. Well, wrong. You can invest anywhere, literally, in the U.S. I mean, as far as I know, I don't know. I don't think there's any prohibitions based on your geographical location as to whether you can legally participate in those partnerships. I'm pretty certain you can. And you may want to look at it, I mean, like a lot of our clients have, where you're looking for indicators that would indicate, even though the nation or the world may be our oyster, which markets are overheated at the moment, or which markets are underserved. Where's the growth expected? You know, let's be like Wayne Gretzky, the great hockey player that explained, you know, people asking reporters, et cetera, how do you always seem to have a premonition of where action's going to happen? He said, well, I don't skate to where the puck is. I skate to where I think it's going. And that's a telling explanation for how we real estate investors, I mean, maybe it's a long, elongated cycle, maybe, but you got to look at where the job's moving, where are businesses opening. And they may not need all the extra housing units immediately, but it's a good indication they're going to. Where's the new university going in? You know, and in any event, that's something that syndications give you, where I would suggest investing in a syndication that's in, you know, let's say you're living in Sacramento and you're investing in one that's in Dallas. That's irrelevant. It could be anywhere. You're not going to be charged with undertaking the activities that you might be in a single family scenario. But in any event, let's go take our last break, and we'll circle back here momentarily with one more category or two more categories of problems that syndications solve. We'll circle back here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing.
Big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the last few minutes of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I had just a couple more categories in discussing reasons and problems that a syndication solves. And these are pretty important, even though we're tucking them in here at the bottom of this discussion. So we've talked about dealing with tenants. We talked about, you know, the time commitment. We've talked about the lack of local investments. And now I want to mention the lack of diversification. And diversification can be looked at on a number of different fronts. Geographical, you know, asset quality. You might do a Class B or Class C or maybe even something as low as a Class D. Those are usually pretty challenging, and I would suggest stay with the C class. Either it starts off as a, maybe at the lowest, a C minus. You renovate it, get the property, the amenities, and the rents up to maybe a C plus. It's hard to change a property by a whole letter, but letter grade, but it's happened. But in any event, there's no end to the potential things that can go bad, and anything you want to look at describing diversification. Unexpected weather, zoning changes, economic shocks that can impact your property, and I a lot of people look at diversification as having a property in maybe Houston versus Phoenix versus Nashville. That's, I guess, one way to look at it. You also might suggest that various employment markets or various economic markets is another type of diversification. I would agree with that. And essentially, all we're trying to do is spread our risk around. We want to look for ways to minimize the chances that our wealth gets destroyed. And, you know, just recently we had interest rate challenges, still having them in the multifamily market. And that was a situation where a lot of projects, a lot of deals got overly concentrated in a certain type of debt structure, the bridge loan. And, you know, you could see it coming. I mean, 3 years ago, it seems like every transaction we reviewed was going to be using a bridge loan. And I pointed it out at the time, said, you know, we've been through this before, back in 2008, 9, 10, and the result was a disaster. And that's been the result this time. And yet people forget, and I'm sure if I'm still kicking, still doing radio or podcasting on this topic, we'll be talking about it in 6 or 7 more years, because that seems to be the cycle. But in any event, the concentration risk is clearly one of the things you have to look at. And, you know, you might look at another scenario would be, well, how much should I limit the amount that I'm investing in any one deal? And I tell people, I mean, most of my clients are in a strata net worth wise where the loss of $100,000, while it would not be pleasant, it would be a bitter pill, it's not going to put them under in terms of their retirement abilities. And whereas a loss of $500,000 or $600,000 or higher, that's a major event to catch up from if you're already in, you know, a chip shot, let's say, of retirement. So you really got to be careful about diversification, and that's why I say it's far more than location, location, location. Timing is a big component, and that might even be number one on that list of criteria. And in any event, investing in syndications can provide diverse or broad diversification. And, you know, it's a matter of understanding the multiple types of commercial real estate, the operators, the geographies, the strategies, and lastly, the properties. And mostly people that I'm familiar with do not have the background to successfully navigate those areas, and that's why we exist. I mean, those are the clients that we tend to work with. Again, we're trying to help you what you're signing up for and check boxes on these various criteria. The next category that syndications solve in most cases is liability. And as an investor in one of these projects, you will not be taking on personal liability that exceeds the potential loss of your investment. That's the worst it can get for you, unless you, which is very unlikely, you were the cause of something happening. So, you know, if you happen to be visiting the property, you inadvertently back over a child, or God forbid, you know, another human being, that's not on the partnership. That's going to be partially your problem. So most folks that invest in these syndications are absolutely shielded from the liability that we're typically concerned about if you're running your own business. The last category I want to discuss, well, two real quick, because we're running out of time here. We got about 3 minutes left, is difficulty finding deals. Again, look to your local real estate investor / mentor platforms or your national ones. Many of them have online meetups that you can work with. And don't think that it's a quick process to get comfortable with an investment opportunity. So just don't be discouraged. Start looking. I suggest it's not a bad idea to have a professional like ourselves on your team and to get through it. Next issue is scalability. And there's no question you can scale much faster by investing in a succession of multifamily syndications. And then lastly is lack of desire. And I tell you, trying to find single family, can the ones that would qualify as a good buy for rental property, sometimes that's, you know, it just so frustrating to go through that process. So you could definitely lose lack of desire. The article that I was reading quoted an investor said, "I have no illusions about personally buying and managing real estate property. I have a hard enough time maintaining my own house. As a busy professional, I already stretch thin and try to balance a career, family, exercise, and hobbies." I get it. And, you know, passive is the solution, these multifamily syndications. Okay, we're at the end of the show. I've got just a few seconds left. I appreciate you joining us today. We'll be back again a week from today right here on AM 700 and AM 1540. 7 a.m. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.